Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Desperado pina colada on the way. Crack open another one.
Yeah, the Desperado and a pina colada on the
way.
It's a sunny day. Just got paid.
So funny.
You know what, yeah. Why has this guy got a fucking mic?
I'm barely gonna talk. I'm not.
I'm joking.
I'm giving
she likes it, so it's fine.
For my birthday.
What's it?
Is that your favourite?
Greatest cocktail to ever exist.
Oh, I actually hate pina colada.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Guys,
I do.
Top two.
You don't have to lie, Hassan.
Top two.
You don't drink, so but I love that.
He's talking about non-alcs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because pineapple and coconut, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Sexy.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Not my vibe.
So buff.
Give me any variation of a margarita.
No, I don't like that.
Margaritas are not nice.
They are, man.
Margaritas are top tier.
We're forcing it.
They're great.
It's actually my favourite cocktail.
Yeah.
It's number one for me.
And it's bare variations as well.
That's what I'm saying. That's like,
I don't like cocktails that are too sweet. Just have some Haribos or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's actually a margarita.
No, margarita.
No, margaritas are so sweet. And also, we're doing too much. Like, why is there a riddle in your margarita?
I don't like that.
Why
spicy
are we doing
one,
stuff like that?
Spicy one's the best.
I don't like that.
Yeah, spice me up.
No, I don't like a spicy one. I like a classic Tommy's. I'm very particular about my margaritas. If they're too sweet, you're having a bad margarita.
All margaritas are sweet.
No.
All margaritas are sweet. They taste like shit. Pina coladas are the way. Or a Desperado.
Pina coladas.
It's
the
thing that you love.
It's not nice.
Why?
Are you not like...
Not all pina coladas have actual milk in them.
Okay.
The best ones
even
don't.
The fact
you're saying she's going to run to the toilet afterwards.
What?
So the Buzzball one has actual milk in it. Me up. So I got a pina colada Buzzball and some beans. So I was having like breakfast, yeah. And honestly, I had the worst start to my day. Like, because I had a hash brown with egg, beans, and like some veggie sausages,
and a
Buzzball pina colada. Yeah, that's my first time trying it. And I swear to you, I was for like an hour straight, guys. It went straight through me, boy.
Joshua, this is your crush.
No, hey.
This is who you're a fan of, just letting you know. We're the Post Credit Scene podcast, a 14HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre, back in the studio, and we have Bisola's here. How are you?
I am, you know, I'm really well.
Yeah?
Feeling great.
Feeling good?
Feeling fantastic.
You're going to have a good day today?
I really am.
You're going to shake some ass?
Oh. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. Come on.
To be fair.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, to be fair.
Even on a bad day.
Yeah.
I'm fine to time.
Just ass everywhere. Fair enough. And we've got a friend of the show back for a fourth time. Yeah, you're a record breaker.
Is it? That's quite cool.
Tile, record tile.
With who? Oh, NK.
NK, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a cancel one because he didn't come out.
How many is he on?
He's on three. But man, he's going to give him four. Yeah, he's on three, man.
Them's like an anime episode.
The Captain America one didn't come out.
Yeah.
Actually, has all of Ori's ones come out, though?
Yeah.
Where you been on, Ori?
Every season, bro.
We've had the British TV one. That was fantastic.
I enjoyed that.
This one's that count. That will be the fourth. Yeah, this will be the fourth.
I can't remember.
We just
had
the last
like a Marvel type one, I think.
Maybe.
We did a Marvel type one. And I don't know.
That's fine.
I can't remember.
We're back here, though.
Every time it's been great, you know.
We appreciate you. Before we get into the actual topic of the discussion today, you've got a new podcast.
I do.
So we need to. We need to round of applause that. Talk to us about the launch of your podcast. What was the premise behind the idea? And
so loud, isn't it?
Yeah, tell us about the pod, man. Let us know.
So the pod is called Scene Queens Podcast.
Let's go.
It is me and a friend called Grace.
Come on.
She's great. We've known each other since we were in the womb. Our parents are friends. We've been friends forever. And yeah, she's big into film and TV. I'm big into film and TV. We're always talking about film and TV. So we thought, let's just let other people hear what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I love that. Women with mics. That's really important.
Exactly. There you go.
And
we've got visuals now.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a whole thing. We're trying to like really put our back
in. What do you two have in common in your taste?
Oh, good question. Oh, I can think of what we don't have in common. What we do have in common... We're big on writing, but she's a screenwriter,
yeah.
Like by trade. I don't know what the word is, but
that works.
She's a screenwriter, And I just love writing. So we're big on like really good writing. And like we'll leave like a cinema screen or whatever and be like, yeah, no, this part was written really well or whatever. Mm. Or this character was written really well.
You should invite Manu in your pod one day. I think you lot would get along.
You know what? I was thinking about, I think you and Grace would get along really well. Like the whole like character analysis, like she loves that stuff. What we don't agree on, I really love musicals. She hates musicals.
Invite me on.
You hate musicals?
I love musicals.
Oh, you love musicals? Good. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
My heart.
Love musicals. Love them. And she's always like, yeah, whatever. Mm. She doesn't feel them. Mm. That's one thing that I can think of off the top of my head.
What's your favourite musical?
Grease.
Come on, get out of here.
I Grease got you.
Come on, man.
What the hell?
Fine.
It is, but it's like it's not.
No. Grease has actually stood the test of time. If you watch it now, it's actually up. It's so good.
It's electrifying.
Exactly.
You gotta shake up.
Boom, it's so good.
Boom, I'm surprised.
It's so guys. Good.
Is it, are you singing Grease right now?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. What, you think I don't have taste beyond the 2000s?
No.
I know I'm being dumb.
Taste in film.
I'm being so good.
Surprised
that I was singing.
That, you know, Grease songs like that.
That's a really big song, though. It's one of the biggest.
Like, Persona said,
have
no,
you ever seen
Persona said no flowers?
You are the one I want. Ooh, 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 honey. Like, anyone knows that song.
Yeah, but
what's your favourite?
That's such a tough question.
What's yours? What's yours? Do you have one?
No.
If I now say Dream Girls.
Guys and Dolls or Dream Girls.
Is great.
Dream Girls
great.
Is actually fantastic. That's but it's,
I've seen, I think
you know, it's so good. I love Guys and Dolls.
That's the guys
Empire.
Are doing it.
It's a good. I don't really.
It all comes from the same like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought Basola would say Empire.
I do love Empire so much.
The show.
Such a shame.
I love Empire. No, that's. Do you know, if I had the power to bring out one show, it would be Empire. Because I feel like it ended.
I didn't finish it. I watched season one and two. I was like, this is a bit of me.
But Sally, can you rethink that?
And then
like,
I
of all the shows.
Because it didn't
that's
end.
A lie, man.
No, it didn't end the way it should have ended. Because it went to end in like an explosion. But COVID was the reason it stopped filming and they didn't bring it back after the season.
It was so we actually. Going all the way till COVID.
You guys don't understand. You guys don't get it, bro. You guys don't get it, man. That was. Show, bro.
The first couple of seasons they were really good, and then
season four is when it flipping peaked.
Really? But then was season three a lull? Because sometimes I don't like if you don't grab me, I'm not come back.
No, season three was good as well. But season four,
are we sure?
Oh my god, season four.
Because why didn't I come back?
I don't know. Because I don't know. It's a lack of taste.
I think no.
Season three
started to do some jazz, and then I never came back.
Nah, you're actually missing out. Season four of Empire. Because I rewatched Empire recently. I'm currently watching Power right now. Yeah, I'm in like a real like low vibrational.
You're watching what?
Rewatching Power.
Okay.
And I'm also like binge watching Baddies. Like it's not very good.
Oh.
What am I going through?
Yeah.
Really? Desperado. Desperado as well. Dad, this is a cry for help. You guys are even seeing this is a cry for help.
She was supposed to be starting The Sopranos, but you know, it's fine.
That's what I'm saying, guys. Just, you guys are not understanding.
Chosen Baddies instead.
And I'm binge watching like Baddie South. Like.
Somebody be
so wrong. No, for real, I think you should. I think someone should be called. You guys are right.
Is it the midlife or quarter life crisis you're having?
No, God forbid. I'm rejecting that. Yeah. But potentially, I don't know what it looks like. Hey, guys, Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah. Tell us, why is she great, Basola?
Oh, you don't even want to get me started. Shonda Rhimes is one of the greatest people to ever exist in life.
Okay.
Even
with like the whole white man.
Thing. She's the greatest woman to ever exist cool. in life. Everything she does is amazing. Every project she's touched has been fantastic. She has managed to propel black women in a way that no one's ever been able to do, and that's by not, what's the word, infantilizing us?
Yeah.
Making us just perfect people. And there's mistakes and flaws in all the characters she writes, especially like people like minorities, so gay people, black people, women across the spectrum. And it makes for great writing, more relatable stories. And she's done that in almost every single production she's been in. The Catch is... Have you watched The Catch?
Mm-hmm.
Every single part of that. So it's like, good. You're an idiot for falling for this guy. But also, it's love.
Mm.
But it's also like, you're meant to be smarter than that. But also, she's a woman. And it's like, it doesn't matter. She's just an idiot. But she's not a stupid woman. She's just an idiot. And it, she does this really good job at just making us go, oh, Cyrus Bean. Fucking awful person, not a gay awful person, you're just awful and you're gay
yeah
it's perfect
yeah,
and it's just like it's such a skill, and it makes for some of the best stories ever.
I agree. I feel like when you're talking about like,
move your mic a bit closer,
sorry,
perfecto,
scared of the mic. I feel
you didn't need to laugh, but none of them need to laugh at that. That was crazy.
Manny
is Manny in the back? Manny was unnecessary.
Whilst he's holding like, a mic in his
hand,
by the way,
I can hear the like hesitant laughter in the background. Okay, anyway, so what I was going to say was, I think when you're talking about like top showrunners, top creators, like you can't not mention her. Mm. Like what she's done with TV, and like you said, it's not just, well, it's not just like putting black women at the forefront. Even what she did with like Grey's Anatomy, for example.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy is...
It's still going.
It's still going. It's so... Oh, my God. I went back. So, Grey's Anatomy is one that I rewatched because I kind of stopped watching it and then I was like, let me go back.
How did you do one. That?
But
that that seems like...
My friends are watching it.
That seems like research almost.
Yeah.
It's like going to the library and saying...
Yeah, yeah. It's very much like, oh, okay, cool. And this is what I'm... It's like, yeah, I get back from work and it's like, all right, cool. Episodes 1 to 3 tonight. Like, we're going to watch that.
Mm. You take it seriously. So, I like that.
Yeah, there's a plan. Because it fits into my schedule and everything. It is... so well written, so tightly written, the characters, the situations, you can tell the like amount of research. Like sometimes I'm like, I kind of want to be in a writer's room where she yeah. is. Like the amount of research, because that stuff always happens, it trickles top down, right? So like she's obviously this powerhouse when it comes to like writing, coming up with creators, whatever. So the writer's room has to be reflective of that. Like mm-hmm. I kind of want to be in there when they're coming up with these
yeah.
storylines or like building out these characters because mm-hmm. she's so good at it.
Mm.
She's so good at it. It's nuts.
I think those that type of show, any of the shows she does really, it digs into both like the professional and the personal and intertwines them into one rather than like separating them. I think you see that with Grey's, you can still get to know the guys working on the ward. You can still get to see their personal lives, their ups and their downs, their trials and tribulations. And I think she's really skilled at that. And I think you can see actually an evolution of how she does it over the years. And I've only seen a bit of Grey's. I'm not like a Grey's guy, so sorry to let the team down.
No, I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
I've never started it.
Sell Grey's to people.
But the thing is, it doesn't need to be sold to me because I will eventually watch it.
So there you go.
This is
Shonda Rhimes. So that's the big sell, really and truly. It's got what you said. So the whole thing about like all of these characters, beyond the fact that they're gay or they're Jewish or they're this, they've got their dead mum, beyond all of that, they are so deeply flawed that you can't stop watching them. And then on top of that, they're surgeons.
Mm.
So they're deeply flawed and you're watching all of these kind of like interpersonal relationships and one hates the other, one sleeps with the other, whatever, whatever. But then on top of that, they're going to work and this kid has come in with the maddest cardiac problem you've ever heard of in your entire life. So then you get attached to this kid for one episode. At the end, if the kid dies, you just met the kid at the start of the episode, you could be crying by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
That's how tight the writing is on Grey's Anatomy, especially, I think they're on like...
They're celebrating 25 years. They're on season 20.
Season 23 or something.
One.
Yeah, something like that. There's so many seasons. But those first... I don't want to give a spoiler. I think the first like 10... It's kind of a lot. Like, still that 10, 11 seasons. It's some of the best writing I've seen.
Yeah.
It is mad how much they make you... How much you get attached to these characters, whether it's the main, like Meredith Grey, Grey's Anatomy, yeah. whether it's her or whether it's...
Is that played by Sandra?
Woman.
Sandra Oh?
No.
No, that's Christina Yang.
Oh.
Meredith Grey.
Oh, you're a Grey's guy?
Ellen Pompeo.
No, I'm actually
Ellen Pompeo.
Oh, yeah. Chat GPT.
Ellen Pompeo, yeah.
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 Seen good, American Family.
Yeah.
It's crazy, by the way. Did you ever watch the spin-off for Grey's Anatomy?
Private Practice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, I did. Grey's Anatomy is better.
Yeah.
But Private Practice, I did. The characters are really different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite nice. And the setting is... Private Practice is set in LA.
Yeah, they moved.
Yeah, so it's like a completely different vibe. Grey's Anatomy, the characters, the story has to be so good because it's actually in Seattle, which is, no one cares about Seattle. Mm. It doesn't mean anything. It's just always raining all the time. They don't even really go outside the hospital. They go to the hospital and you're in their houses. Sometimes.
I think that's really cool. I think it's, there's something really great about a long-standing work-based drama.
Yeah.
When you don't need to really leave the workplace.
Yeah.
Crazy.
There's still story to tell. It's mad.
I know, it's mad. Is there still a story? There is. And I don't watch it as... But I think it's because they balance the whole... The cast drama, so like the characters and what they've got going on, they balance it really well with the patient drama.
Uh-huh.
And they toggle between... You know shows when they do like situation, like it's episodic, so it's just mm-hmm. like one case per episode or whatever. They toggle between that really well and the ones that it's like... You're watching this one patient for like the whole season. You don't know whether he's going to live or die.
Mm. Mm.
And now you really love him. Because if they can get you to love someone in one episode, they can definitely get you to love someone across the whole season. And then at the end, it's like, does he live, does he die? And the whole season, his or her storyline has been weaved into that. So they mm-hmm. toggle between like the episodic and the more like long-term people really well. It's so good.
You sold?
I've always been sold. The reason I didn't start it is because it was still going. and I wanted a really good binge, and I'm like, I don't want to have to compete.
I don't know when it will end as well.
Yeah, so now I'm like, I might just start it.
It's so good. It's really sad.
That is that good?
No, no, as in like, there's some episodes where you're like, man.
My friend was bare crying the other day. I was like,
there's some episodes where I'm like, this is crazy.
My friend's rewatching it. And she's crying. I'm like, but you know this is going to happen. So crying is crazy.
Still, I think, honestly, the writing is that tight that you're like, man, this is crazy.
Manny, are you sold?
Yeah, it sounds like your version of One Piece.
God. Oh my God. You know what? I've never watched One Piece, but the way people talk about it, Jesus. And like what I've picked up.
Still found a way, by the way, Bissong.
Is that what you do?
He'll literally find any sentence.
let her land.
No, it's fine.
The way people talk about One Piece and like, I don't know, because when I don't watch anime, but when I ask people who do, they always recommend that to me, knowing what I like, if that makes sense. I can see why you'd say that.
I feel like all anime fans recommend One Piece.
No. Well, One Piece is a very hard sell because it's so long. So people don't usually recommend it as a first watch unless they know you and think that you'll enjoy it. Like, I wouldn't recommend One Piece to you, guys.
Okay.
Why?
Because it's too long. It's not a introductory anime. Okay, it's quite hard to get into. If you haven't watched anime before,
what's an introductory one?
Attack on Titan.
Childish for me, man.
If I had to recommend one to guys, it would be Attack on Titan or Psycho Pass. Psycho Pass is like a police drama with like quite a bit of mystery behind it. If I had to recommend one to be Solar, it would be something like, I don't know, maybe Waterkoi. It's a romance, but it's like really well written.
Okay.
Waterkoi?
Waterkoi, yeah.
And what was the other one? Psychopath?
Psychopath, yeah.
Cool.
That kind of takes us into one of our other shows, which, beyond how much I actually enjoyed the show, I didn't realise how like monumental it was until like quite recently, which is Scandal.
Ugh, let's talk about it.
So good.
And I never actually thought it'd be the type of show I'd be into when I started it. I think I started it maybe in uni or just after, and it was the time of my life where you had time to waste in it and time to kill, so I just wanted something to watch. And this was the period where I was watching like some of the CW shows, like The Flash and all that sort of stuff. And some of the ABC network shows, where network shows were still like prominent before streamers came along. I didn't realise that it had been 38 years since a black woman had led a network series. And Kerry Washington was the first in 38 years and the third ever at the time. Which is like, when you're talking about 2012, you're talking about a time that's not too far distant from where we are now. And it's like, how was she the third to lead a network series in the year 2012, when we're supposed to have been made so much progress as an industry in terms of film and TV, and then obviously made progress as a society, which is crazy to me. But Scandal was like it's a huge show. It laid the foundation for How to Get Away. It laid the foundation for Bridgerton and even The Residence, which was this year.
Yeah.
Scandal, what does it mean to you guys?
Scandal's everything. It sounds so sneaky, innit? But Scandal's everything, yeah? Because Olivia Pope is... I don't like Olivia Pope. Like, just...
Yeah.
I don't like her either.
Yeah, same.
But we're meant to, but also not meant to. Again, great writing. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
But she's so relatable, but also not. Because I'm just like, you dumb. I'm like, oh, okay, love. But also like, fucking hell, man. You're a mistress, but you're intelligent as shit, and you've got so much power, and you've got so much control, but you want to be a side piece? Really? Like, really? That's the choice you want to make?
Scandal's so, really so you're not an Olitz person, clearly.
Oh my goodness, I hate that couple, so are you dumb? Oh, brother. Oh, I hate Fitzgerald Grant. You know how much I hate Fitzgerald Grant?
I know how much you
please.
Hate, he walks, the way
he talks. Everything about that man.
There's so many of them I hate, actually.
Really?
Okay, who do you hate? Reel off.
Olivia, I hate.
T.
Fitzgerald Grant,
T,
I hate.
But more than Olivia or less? More. Has to
more
be.
Than Olivia.
Okay, cool.
More
on
than
the same
Olivia.
Page.
I hate. I know you're going to kill me for this, but Jake Ballard. I hate that. Take
it back. Take it back right now. You take that back. Jake you take Ballard. That back. You don't
Jake
mean that.
Ballard.
That's my guy, man.
Captain Jacob Ballard.
First of all, let me.
Solo just wants to off pant for him. So I don't mind that.
And he was a fantastic
sexy.
Addition.
No.
Visually to the show. He was a.
He's a good looking chap. He's a good looking.
But more than that, he's
addition.
The only one that really got it. He's the only one that.
I'm sorry. So you hate Olivia for agreeing to be Fitz's side piece.
But your side piece.
But Chait Ballard, you're okay with, even though he was pining after Olivia, who absolutely did not want him and wanted Fitz.
But it's more than that.
Every
it's
season, more than that. Jake, wake up.
It's more than that. It's more than that because he.
You sound more annoyed than you dislike him, though. You sound more like frustrated. Like,
do you know what it is? Because I think with Jake's one, yeah, it was like this is actually happening right in front of your face, and you're not tied to this situation the way Melly's tied to the situation. For example, Melly's got kids for the man. Melly is the first lady of the United States of America. Like, she's actually societally tied to him, legally tied to him. She's tied to this situation in ways that she can't get out of necessarily, like, easily. Jake, you can.
But can he?
You can. First of all, you were employed to be in this position. Yeah, the first task of you even getting to know Olivia, it was a job.
Yeah, but...
why fall in love on the job? Wake up.
Don't do that to him. She sounds annoyed.
Don't say that to him. Because Jake, it's more than that.
Better for him.
She's annoyed.
No, but my annoyance of you, what you're saying right now, yeah, is acting like Jake didn't have to go. Like, he was almost indoctrinated by my man.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's looped in. He's under his control. He can't leave Eli Pope. He actually can't. It's not that easy.
And the Eli thing, 100%. And that part of his psyche, I can get on board with like unpacking that and understanding that he's, you know, Eli was like his dad and all of that weird shit. The Olivia parts, however, Jake, she does not want you. Please stop asking for this woman. Stop going after this woman. She doesn't want you.
But she kind of does, though. She ran away.
She doesn't want you.
She was chasing the sun.
She doesn't want you. And after that, when she left the sun, don't go back to her. Stop chasing after this woman. Please stop.
They even went away and came back.
Please stop.
Can you imagine?
Please stop.
It's grim, man.
You then started working for Fitz. You're seeing her in the fucking Oval Office every other fucking day. You're still in love with this woman. Wake up.
So when Jake...
you know what hurt me the most, is when she started, she had to pretend to be with Jake. And they're arguing in the hotel room. And they're all stood outside, Secret Service. Oh, man, Jake, please, baby boy. It hurt me so much, guys. I would never do that to you. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Right.
That's kind of why I like Jake, though. He's like flawed, innit? Like, but I feel like he should have been. I don't know. I do agree with you. I think it was puppy love. It was like lost eyes sort of thing. Like, he just couldn't get over Olivia. But the same thing was with Fitz. Fitz couldn't get over her either. But I couldn't stand Fitz. But I like Jake, so maybe I'm the problem.
I couldn't stand Fitz because you're a married man with three kids.
Melly.
Yeah. No. Do you know what I mean? Your grieving wife, you called her Smelly Melly.
That was Smelly Melly. That was one of his low points. Like, he was low for basically every season. Yeah. But that was a real low point for him.
But they lied to him, man. They lied to the boy, man. You know what I'm saying?
That was awful.
No, but he's acting like he had the worst cards dealt ever. You still ran for president. Like, you wanted to be president, full stop. Like, you ran for this job. They might have rigged it for you, but you still wanted it. So acting like you were like, oh no, they got me the seat in the Oval.
Give us the whole, like...
Oh, please,
he didn't really want it. It was his dad. His dad put pressure on him.
I agree. You still ran in the hopes of winning. You still tried to win.
I agree.
They rigged it for you, but you still tried to win. So acting like you guys put me in this position. You put yourself there. They rigged it for you after that. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's just a piece of shit.
Which other characters didn't you like, Ori?
I didn't like Cyrus. I think that's self-explanatory. But when I say I didn't like them, I kind of mean I liked to not like them.
Yeah.
So even like, to be fair, Jake did actually get on my nerves like quite a lot of the time, but even with these other characters, it's kind of like I hate you, let's get on the next episode. It's not like I hate you and you're making this unwatchable.
Yeah,
so Cyrus, I hated him, but like,
you hate them as people.
But the hate for Cyrus was like this is a giddy kind of hate. Like, you're mental.
He's so funny though. Cyrus is a flipping comedian,
so funny. He's such a bitch.
Yeah,
such a bitch. So it's just like, oh yeah, I hate you, but also I kind of know that you don't mind that.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. That's our relationship. Yeah. That's fine. Hated Cyrus. Who else did I hate? Maybe that's the end of the list.
I think the great thing with the characters you've named, though, and that's the great thing about film and TV, is that you can have a dislike for a character but want to see them again on the next episode or the next movie.
100%.
And sometimes the characters that are unlikable are the most interesting characters. It's because they've got an edge to them. They've got a default. And it makes them human as well. Like, makes them real. Like, who can I think of? I can't think of a specific character now, but I can't stand like characters that are portrayed to be like this great thing with no... Like, Olivia is super fucking flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't eat properly.
Yeah.
She just eats popcorn and drinks wine. She can be an arsehole to her employees.
Yeah.
Although Gladiators and Suits, really cool stuff. Really cool. Really cool. And you know when they do the speech thing?
Yeah.
You know when they speak super fast?
That's my favourite part of Scandal.
I think that was the first episode when Harrison is selling it to Quinn.
Yeah.
Sick.
Lindsay.
And she's also like a mistress. Like, she's a cheat. She's a mistress. She's corrupt. But again, that's why they're great characters, right? And I think that's why Scandal shines. It's also a bit cheesy at times. It's like very corny, but then it's also, it became so dark as it went on. Like when we get to season two, and I think it's the end of season two, and like the B613 reveal. Oh, are you crazy? That took the show into like another level for me.
Crazy.
B613 was like, oh, this is like, is this reflecting real world?
Yeah.
When I rewatch, first of all,
it's a rewatch every year.
I definitely think it's reflected in the real world. Like, there's definitely, there's B613s.
It exists. I don't care.
In every country.
Because Hollis Doyle was too accurately written. 100%. So B613 100%. Is accurate as well.
So one of the showrunners used to work, she used to like work in the press office at the White House.
Boom. What are we really doing here? Yeah. She's still alive.
The woman. Yeah, definitely not. She's definitely alive. Yeah. She is, but yeah, she's like a, what's her?
Judy Smith. Who's Kerry Washington's character is based off.
Yeah.
And she helped with, like, she was helping in the writing rooms and stuff. Like, I mean, yeah. Obviously, she's going to say that she was just helping with the stuff that's visible to everyone, but.
Yeah, of course.
Common Dolls.
I can't remember what I was going to say before then.
We were talking about real world. Just reflecting
in the real world.
The real world. Like, B613, I think, is real. That show clearly shows that. Even if you're wanting to be an idiot and say, oh yeah, elections aren't rigged. Elections are rigged, my G's. Like,
yeah.
And I think the show also reflected. And I like when shows do that, when it reflects aspects of the real world. And gives you a bit of a deep dive.
It's also obviously just going to be dramatised because...
To make it sexy.
There's 100 things happening in one season.
Yeah.
But all of those things definitely happen in the real world, just not in the length of a season. So it feels mad because it's like
back to back
after the other, in one season. But these things are definitely happening.
Yeah.
Even in the opening scene, it really set the tone for what we're going to see Olivia to be over the next 6 seasons. Because it's like they go into this really high, intense exchange. We don't know what it is at this point. They're in the lift, her and my man, before he leaves. Stephen?
Yeah.
Oh, the one that was had his wife.
Yeah. And she's basically like to him, you need to get married. You need to settle down and start a life. The irony. She's given him that whole spiel, but he's like, yo, have you got the bread for this? Like, have we, this exchange, they're not going to give us this exchange, whatever, blah, blah. Takes a box. Lo and behold, it's for an ambassador or something, and it's their child. Yeah. And it's like, oh, Olivia's actually quite loving. Because her talking to him like that, being like, we've got rings for you, we've got everything set up for you, you're really lovely. Like, it's a really lovely thing to do. But in turn, you're like, Quinn walks in and she's like, too much cleavage. And I was like, oh, I'm going to hate her.
I also do think, though, because the loving thing I agree with, especially with her, like, gladiators, like her people, she does love them. But I also think she's very, even that rings thing, we've got rings for you, get married, whatever. I feel like from moment one, we're shown she is, everything's a system. Everything's like a follow the plan, this and that, da 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 da. Like the whole her telling Stephen just get married, because she's thinking, that just makes sense for like the trajectory I have for you.
Yeah.
I do think there is love behind it, but I do think it's part. So even the like too much cleavage for Quinn, obviously, yes, it is a bit rude, it's a bit cheeky, but I think it's also like cover up, because in order for you to get the job done that I need you to be doing, you can't be having that cleavage out. Like, I think it's very like.
She's her daughter's parent. Parent's daughter, she's her parent's daughter.
Yeah,
you see Maya and Eli Pope in her.
Yeah,
go on. You're smiling so.
Eli Pope is the greatest TV character ever.
Do you reckon? Yeah,
and that's the best TV dad ever. And that's who I'm actually really
best TV dad is.
He is. Funny. I don't care. I did a whole thing on TikTok one time, being like the best TV dads, and I put him up there, and everyone was like, "Bro, what are you going through?" I was like, "Yeah, I am fatherless, but I do think Eli Pope is a great dad. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I think he is really a great parent. I think Olivia just wanted to play in the underworld. She wanted to, but I've more than she can do. She wanted to do like loads, and he's like, you know what? At some point, you gotta.
I do know. Do you know what though? On like principle. On a principled basis, because when I rewatched it, so when I watched it the first time, it was when it was on and I was in uni. When I rewatched it, this was last year, and it was me and my sister at home watching it together. And there were times where like Eli would say something and we'd be like, he sounds like dad. Like dad would say that. Not the crazy stuff, obviously, but just like the prince, I don't know, like just stuff about like,
twice.
Yeah.
Every single
that
speech kind of
stuff. We'd be like, dad would say that. So I do get what you mean.
Yeah, I actually think Eli is a great dad. I think if Olivia's not a great daughter, I think like only so much you can do. Your daughter's trying to be a mistress of a president, even though you sent her to private school and also told her like power actually comes from being in the shadows. But she wants to be front facing so badly. She wants all the praise. She wants all of that stuff. She wants her cake and she wants to eat at the same time. And you told her you can't do that. How much can you do as a parent? If a child wants to play in the underworld, okay, play in the underworld.
Yeah, but come on, you can't tell your daughters you have to be so mediocre. That's
no, that's so no, because you've gone
you
through.
You have to be so mediocre.
You've gone through all of like Eli's best speeches. Yeah, my favorite one is run, Olivia. Yeah, and ooh, that one right was... there, because she's basically asking for a bit of help. My advice to you, Olivia, is run. After that, I was like, yo, I love him.
He's so good.
Yeah,
he's so good.
When he's like, I will slit Jake's throat. Like, his hold on Jake was crazy. But being like, to Olivia, I will slit his throat if you try and ruin this wedding.
I don't really, like, when I see people, like, famous people on the street and stuff, I'm always, like, you know when you're just like, oh, that's thing in your head, and you just walk, yeah. I don't really do anything. But I saw him.
I can't lie, I would have
he
a
was
bit
doing
of
a play in the National Theatre, like a run for this play anyway. I can't remember what play it was. I didn't go and see the play, but I was near the National Theatre. In the mornings, I must have been like, I don't know, rehearsal or something. And I saw him, and honestly, I think also because he just looks exactly like, I mean, he's like a dad in real life. He's an older black man in real life. Like, yeah. There's no costume or anything like that. Like, he looked exactly the same. And I actually stopped in my tracks. Like, yeah. I was like, oh my God. I didn't ask for a picture. He was in a rush and I was also in a rush.
I would've stopped.
But I was like, oh my God. And then he was like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, my God!
Say the speech. Say the monologue.
Yeah, say something. That was the extent of our exchange.
I'll pick up whatever chips you have left and run as far away as possible from the burning building known as the White House.
I've been able to
run.
So good.
Run.
That's it. Every time they come up on my like TikTok for you page, I watch.
What's your favorite one? Yours is Run.
The Run Olivia. That is
right now. Yeah, Run Olivia is so good.
What's my favourite one?
Do you know what a really good one is that's run. Underrated? Is when he's speaking to...
Fitzgerald.
Nah, he's speaking to one of Olivia's exes. It's the black guy that was running for president. You ain't no Jesse Jackson.
That is a very good one.
That was... Edison Davis.
Yeah.
No, she didn't deserve him.
She actually didn't deserve
him.
He was actually the perfect man.
And you know what? He packed his bag and said, I don't deserve this either.
Yeah, she also didn't deserve Jacob Ballard either.
And yet, he stayed around. So.
You ain't no Jesse Jackson. Dark, man. There was obviously You Are a Boy with Fitz.
Oh, that's the best. That's actually outside the.
You cried yourself to sleep because daddy hurt your feelings because papa banged his secretary.
It's the voices that he does as well.
He lets all his voices in his head go at once.
Yeah.
Because he hurt. To have so much money, you spoiled, entitled little brat.
And Fitzgerald just sat there, basically being like,
there's actually nothing to say.
Yeah.
He tried to quit back and he was like,
he tried, but just don't. Like, it's actually.
He's better than you.
Yeah, he's better than you.
It's a waste of your time.
Yeah. Great character. Another character we spoke about, though, Cyrus Bean is brilliant, man.
Cyrus Bean, yeah.
He's really, really good character.
His development was great to watch. Like, he's a shit person from the jump.
Yeah.
But we don't really truly know how shit he is.
Oh, at all.
So we know he's like, you know, he's got English of being a terrible person. Then it just kind of sprinkles through, and you're like, oh my goodness,
you're actually evil.
You're wicked.
Yeah. Like it's not just like
wicked.
Oh, because at first I think the vibe you get from him is that, like, you know, he likes to get the job done.
Yeah,
he'll do a few dodgy dealings to get the job done. No, that man is evil personified. Yeah. Like, he's actually evil. He's in Shonda keeps her cast numbers tight, and he's in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, okay,
and he's. It's not the spoiler or anything, but he's Meredith Grey, so Ellen Pope, he's her dad.
Oh God,
he's hardly in it. He's not in it that much. You know, just like when you just see someone's dad like a few times, he is. I can't tell you how extremely opposite he is from being Cyrus.
Oh, wow.
It's not even close. In Grey's Anatomy, he's this like mumbling man. Like, he's just. He even looks older, even though. That's
the shot before. Old, yeah.
Yeah. He looks older. He's just this mumbling man that like has this like powerhouse doctor of a daughter. Like, he doesn't doesn't give anything really, because he's meant to not give anything. And then when I started watching Scandal and he was like coming in these suits and getting, I was like, whoa, Thatcher Gray, because that's his name. That's his name. Grey's Anatomy. I was like, what's going on? Mm. Crazy. His range as an actor is insane.
Yeah.
Just from those two characters, because they couldn't be further apart.
Yeah. Yeah, as you said, Cyrus is obviously, he's a gay man, but he's so capable of stealing a scene and being combative and being forceful and resourceful and powerful and wanting to be powerful. You don't have to depict a particular group or a minority group in a particular way. I think as you said before, Shonda Rhimes does this thing where she like elevates some of her
she's done characters like, single-handedly saved the alphabet community.
Okay,
every like gay character she's got across the spectrum, across like all her shows, even How to Get Away with Murder, which we'll get into eventually. Oh, I forgot his name, the main gay one before Ollie comes. Kiz, you're typing away.
Silence.
Right. So the main one from the school, I just forgot his name completely.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's with the Asian guy.
He's with Ollie.
He's Connor. Yeah, he's Connor.
Connor and Ollie. But Ollie's like the cute little one.
Yeah.
He's the good boy.
Connor is, again, deeply flawed and just a terrible person.
Yeah.
But Ollie's lovely. But also other like people that Connor has dated and stuff have been cool. Like it just shows you that the gayness isn't really the reason.
100%. All them kids are.
It's Cyrus and James.
Yeah, James Novak.
Yeah. Again, oh my goodness.
They're like not similar. And then
Jake Ballard's a dark guy, you know. Jake,
that episode.
Come on, man. That's my guy, Jake. Though he had to do what he had to do. He's Eli's son.
No, but he's Eli's son for real. No, but
he's more than Eli because Eli would never pull the trigger, and we saw that later in the seasons. Yeah,
true.
Eli really isn't a gunman.
Yeah. James is
a gun.
Yeah.
So when Jacob became head of B613, I was like, he's not understanding that he's in command. Like he is command. Like
yeah, you're not meant to be a gun for hire.
Put your soldiers out. Yeah, put your soldiers out. You're not meant to be a soldier. So him going to do that himself, I was like,
I think didn't he say something like he wanted to spare somebody from having to do that.
Yeah, because it was mad. It's crazy.
Because you didn't want to kill James. He has to shoot him. He has to let him run, shoot him, and wait for him to bleed out. Yeah. So it looked like a carjacking. Yeah. Whereas the other two killed them and then dumped them somewhere else. And then making David Rosen wait and cover it up.
Coming to see David Rosen every day in that office to make sure that he didn't
He was actually, he was the boogeyman.
He'd literally be there in the office just waiting there with like whiskey. Like,
no, he was actually the boogeyman. Like,
there were some dark moments in that series, man. When Fitz's child died, that was...
Meningitis.
That was dark. Oh, that Tom's speech. Helen of Troy.
Helen of Troy. Yeah. Do you know what that reminded me of? Yeah. Do you remember when Burna Boy was when Steph London and Jada Kingdom were fighting?
Yeah.
And everyone and I was like, yo, you guys have allowed Burna Boy to be like Helen of Troy, like the face that launched the 1,000 ships. Yeah. And that's what that moment reminds me of. Really closely.
It was so random because you wouldn't have expected Tom to ever come out with that. And I think that's why the scene was so powerful.
That's why it worked though. He'd been this silent
assassin. Yeah, we don't know what he does. Like, we know he's in the shadows, we know he's powerful, we know he does something. Then he reveals himself as being part of B613.
Scandal was really good at that premise anyway. Remember even Eli's introduction?
Yeah.
We didn't know who he was. He was just kind of like
lurking. In the
shadows. Lurking.
Back in the season two, he was just.
And then they were in the car. Olivia went to go meet him. In the car, we're thinking Olivia's just meeting him because she meets with everyone in the world of politics.
Was this when she got exposed?
Yeah, and she's like, Dad. And we were like, Dad, we didn't know.
Then you get
like,
the speech.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're confused because we feel like he's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
The whole time because we're like, this guy's trying to kill her. And then it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, the show did cliffhangers superbly.
Yeah.
Because they used to do mid-season breaks and end of season.
It was also annoying because when I was watching it the first time, it was when it was on. They used to do Shonda Thursdays.
Yeah. Shonda Thursdays sounds like absolute joy.
It was heaven.
Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder. You fucking dumb. Sorry.
That's actually insane. Like, I can't even imagine what that would do for me if I was like in America, I'm putting on ABC and that's my night.
In sync, I know.
That's crazy.
Sorry.
It was creepy. I'm so excited for that.
No, it's real. It's real.
Crazy. But I remember having to like, first of all, you have to wait a week anyway, because obviously it's weekly. And then, the whole mid-season break, but it'd always be, I can't remember what ones now, but like it'd always be some mad cliffhanger. And then you'd see at the end, you'd be like, oh, back in September. And you're like, what?
That's what I thank God for, man.
Were there any moments of scandal where I didn't really buy into that. Like, I got Marcus and Melly. Like, I get it. I was just like, okay.
I didn't like Marcus that much. I didn't like Quinn and Huck fucking. Made me feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they used to lick each other and...
Yeah, that got, like, a bit nasty.
Do you know what? I didn't like the writing for Huck. He was too intelligent for him to go through that twice.
With women.
Yeah, women couldn't be his demise twice. Come on, man.
Yeah, to be fair, there were times with Huck where I was like, I don't know if I believe, like, I'm not sure I believe this.
Yeah.
Or there'd be times where he'd be so close to, like, not a redemption arc, but, like, so close to...
They would throw him back into the dark.
Yeah, and then it was like, cool, snatch back.
And sometimes it was Olivia that got him to do some of the crazy stuff as well. Yeah. As much as she was supposed to be his saviour.
Yeah,
100%. It sounds so wicked, but his PTSD really pissed me off. The fact that it took him forever to get out of like the dark place, whereas Jake could be literally put in a ditch, almost like set on fire, then he's ready to work the next week.
It's off.
Like, Huck, like, come on, man. Like, you've, like, Jake's actually been through worse.
Yeah, and you've, and this also,
it has been like, Huck was put in a hole, but so was Jake. But Jake's one was worse because he was taken out of the army.
But Jake had no family.
Beaten up, no, he was sent to go and kill his dad, basically. And his dad was the one that was abusing his sister, and his sister was pregnant, and his sister also took her life.
Yeah, the Jake story was.
Jake's story was terrible. When they started revealing more of his backstory, I was like, damn.
Yeah. That episode when he's talking about being Kamad now, and he's like literally him just walking through his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, B6 Fame was great. Charlie was an interesting, because I used to hate Charlie, and then they kind of like made him like a likeable.
I didn't like him.
At first,
I was like, not this guy, man. He don't need to be a mainstay character. But after a while, I was like, yeah,
because him and Quinn are just like, oh,
yeah.
I'm trying to be that little spy love.
Yeah. Let's do a bit of How to Get Away.
Let's do it.
Led by Viola Davis as Annalise Keaton.
The black woman, you see?
Where we say Olivia was flawed, yeah. Like, Annalise.
Black. Bisexual.
Annalise takes it to like a different level of flawed. Like she's a dark character, but again, like, that's why she's great. Like,
yeah, she's a terrible woman.
And you can still see like the humanity in her despite all of that. I do think How to Get Away got too convoluted, like towards the later stages of the series. But at its peak, that first season especially, I hadn't seen anything like it at the time.
Yeah,
anything like Annalise Keating, the whole premise of these kids who are going to like law school. And then the whole like murder mystery, which unravels the cliffhangers after episodes and after mid-season episodes. And it's like, yeah, this is gripping TV. And I never thought I'd like a show like Scandal or a show like How to Get Away. What did it mean to you guys?
Well, it meant everything. No, How to Get Away Murder, yeah. It was more so because I loved the structure of it. I think it showed me how much I love a good murder mystery when it's done correctly. A lot of them are just, you feel like you're chasing the murder. Whereas How to Get Away with Murder, you're not even just chasing the murder, because each season was either someone's taking money on my Monzo. You're either trying to figure out who the murderer was or who got murdered. I think the balance between that was really good. So season one, it was who the murderer was. Then the next season was who got murdered. And then the third season, like, it was that.
Was it Sam cool. that got killed in the first season?
So we know in the first episode that they're trying to bury his body. Literally by the first ep, we're trying to bury his body. Mm. But the next season's like, actually, who got murdered here?
Yeah.
I think that right there was really great because it meant that the season wasn't constantly the same.
Yeah, 100%. I think, and similar to Scandal, to be fair, it has so many elements of stuff that I like in separate forms. So I love a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I love like a flawed character. Not going to lie. I love a flawed lead character. I don't like have something wrong with you. We all have something wrong with
be
us.
Be a piece of shit sometimes.
Exactly. I love a flawed character. I love like a real, and not like, not diversity for the sake of it, and not just there diversity in terms of like, yeah, a few blacks, a few whites, a few Asians, not in that way. I mean, like, even like Michaela, Connor, they're all just such different people. They acted so differently.
Yeah, because Michaela's a bit pompous and a bit like, she's, you know, I think she comes from like good money, right?
Yeah, she is. She's the rich one.
Which kind of breaks the stereotype.
Exactly. Flips on its head, but it still adds to the like diversity of the
actually, she's not.
Cast
she's,
or the characters. No,
she's adopted.
She gave off like she was.
Yeah, she's like, by trailer trash. That was the whole thing.
Yeah. She gave off like she wasn't.
Okay.
So she was like trying to like, I don't know.
Trying to marry Rich.
Yeah.
Because her boyfriend was gay. Her fiance was gay.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, there were so many layers to have. Yeah. I need to rewatch it.
No, because I was rewatching, that's why I asked all this stuff.
Yeah.
But there's this thing I really hate in TV. Again, it's diversity for no reason. It really bothers me when you're watching a show, and I was watching a show recently, to say the name is unnecessary, but they give one of the main characters, they make her a lesbian, and it doesn't push the story forward at all. Her girlfriend comes in for one episode and makes her food, and they talk about her day. And that's it. And I really hate shit like that, because they've made it her whole thing of her being gay, but it means absolutely nothing to the plot whatsoever.
Yeah.
Whereas you get shows like How to Get Away with Murder, and their sexuality actually pushes them forward. Like, 100%. It pushes the story forward. Like, it's 100%. Really important that, since you've seen a black bisexual woman on TV like that, was really, really important.
Was she with Bonnie? Or am I going crazy?
No, because her and Bonnie had this really odd relationship.
Yeah.
It was like mother and daughter, but also like,
in love. Like, yeah. Bonnie was kind of
Bonnie was in love with her. Yeah, Bonnie was in love.
It was like really unsettling. We couldn't get it. We couldn't engage it. But it was my girl, the other lawyer.
Oh, that was like the rival.
Yeah,
I remember.
I've completely forgotten. Kiz.
Yeah, he's not going to get that.
I've got the cast up, but I don't know who you're talking about.
Type in Annalise Keaton's
love interest or something.
Female love interest. So yeah, even her, like, my favorite part of
that. Sometimes you call for Kiz. It's kind of rude, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
Nigga, do your job. My favorite. Oopsie. My favorite episode of How to Get Murdered Yet is when she sat there. She's like, "Why is your penis on a dead girl's phone?" Because it means a lot.
And it's a valid question.
Yeah, and it really
answer it right.
Eve Ruffio.
Eve, yes.
Eve.
And Lisa Eve, yeah. So her like being with Eve.
Hold on, let me see this real quick.
Her being with Eve was really, really important because it meant that she wasn't just bisexual by us knowing.
Actually seeing it.
Like,
yeah,
she was in a committed long-term relationship with this girl, this woman, and then she's also married, but also like she cheats with women or she's had sex with women, or her being out and about when her trying to like find her.
Yeah, it's not just like again. A label that's thrown on her.
Yeah.
Agree.
I tell you, everything that was put in there was important and was actually necessary for it, because her relationship with Eve was kind of the reason that she got into that situation she got into.
And then she was getting chucked around by, what's his name? Is it Nate?
Oh my God, Nate.
Is that time when he
nah, that show was too horny, man.
There's one episode.
Man, you type in Nate had to get away.
She sat like this on the bed, yeah?
He's a hunk, man. It's mad.
No, she sat like this on the bed. That is you're actually gonna get some. He's naked in front of you. But she sat there like this.
Yeah, she was Arnie.
It is the funniest episode of Husky Brother ever.
Yeah, he had any excuse to top off.
Top off, yeah, anytime.
Any time, yeah, no reason. For no reason sometimes.
Yeah, Nate was really funny as a character.
Yeah.
Mind you, his wife is dying.
Yeah, like.
Stage 4 cancer, actually dying.
Yeah, but you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm not justifying, by the way. This is TV, right? You know? It's TV, you know? Frank was a great character as well.
I did love Frank.
Frank was a really good character.
Then he got really bad. But I don't think, no, it wasn't the writing, it's just him as a person, because he's not real.
I think the writing in How to Get Away with Murder, I think it suffered.
It
lulled at one point and then it came back up.
Scandal did the same,
because how many, there was
six seasons, because it kept running after Scandal, like, I think it did like a season after Scandal.
Yeah,
because it started a year later. No,
because Scandal also did the same, and I'm trying to think whether there was, like, I don't know, I'm not putting limits on Shonda, but I would love to see if there's like a correlation between like a peak Grey's season and a lull in Scandal or How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, because so you like, think it's like that?
Yeah, because it's like,
how,
man,
do you, how do you balance? How do you balance that?
I'd love to see if there's like a correlation there, because I just can't think of like the time, because there's so many seasons of Grey's Anatomy as well, so I can't even think of the timelines. But I do think there were lulls in both of them. Yeah. I just can't remember when. I want to say like season
Did you like How to Get Away with Scandal?
I did.
I thought that was really good.
What, the crossover?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I watched How to Get Away with Murder first. So I was binging that. And then it got to the How to Get Away with Scandal. And I was like, I can't watch this now. So I've got to go back and binge it.
Ooh,
and I binged all the Scandal. And I was like, oh my goodness. I can't believe I haven't watched this for the last 2 years. And then, binged it all. Then I was like, up to date with everything.
Wow, well done. Drops.
But How to Get Away with Murder, waiting for that weekly, especially for that last season. Because the whole thing I thought was, where's his back from the dead? What do you mean it's their fucking child? It pissed me off so much, man. Like, what's his name? Christopher. It actually annoyed the shit out of me. And Frank and Lauren.
Oh, Laurel.
Laurel, yeah. Their relationship.
Yeah. Laurel, to be fair, as a character, there weren't many times where I liked her.
Yeah, she wasn't likable.
There wasn't many
I don't think any of those kids were.
Connor had some redeeming traits.
There was something about Connor that I could get on board with.
He was trying to do like the right thing, but he's just battling addiction across the board.
Yeah.
Like sex, drugs and alcohol. Like every addiction known to man.
Who would have written Michaela?
Michaela's a piece of shit. She wasn't good.
Where's
Asher? Is that his name?
Yeah. What? But Asher's like
the one that Michaela was with. Asher.
And obviously Wesley, right? Is it Wesley?
Wes. Yeah.
I'm right. He was a child, right?
No.
What was the story?
But they led us down that path.
Yeah, so like, basically. Sure.
My memory's hazy of How to Get Away.
She was. So. Annalise was the lawyer for his dad. And his dad sexually assaulted his mom.
Mom, that was like.
Who was a cleaner.
Yeah.
And
that's how he came.
Yeah. And that's how he came about.
Boy. Yeah.
the story's all intertwined, but we were of the
series is dark, man. Series is
it is a really dark show.
How to Get Away was darker than Scandal for sure.
100.
That sounds crazy.
Definitely.
And then like even the introduction of what's that sexy man? Can you check in? Sexy man.
Sexy man has to get away.
Had to get my season 5.
Helpful Basola. No
problem. If it comes up, you guys know I'm right. Rome Flynn.
Kiz is a
Rome Flynn.
I forgot his name of his character.
His search history is going to be crazy.
Oh my days! It says how does.
I thought you were saying oh my days. He is sexy.
No, it says how to get away with murder. Does not have a character officially referred to as sexy man.
Okay, so Rome Flynn. He was on How to Get Murder.
Rome Flynn.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Gabriel, is that his name?
No, Gabriel Maddox is the name of the character.
Okay.
He was.
The new character who is often seen as a sexy man.
Exactly. T. Okay. I wrote that actually. I wrote that article.
Yeah, it says Bueller.
Written by.
I think he was really interesting because then we were of the belief that he was Annalise Keaton's child.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're like, okay, we've got one biracial. Okay, that wasn't it. The next one might be him, just to find out that's actually her stepchild, basically. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's the balance between who the murderer are versus murdered for 6 seasons. It works really well. All that, the times where it was really like, good. We knew who pulled the trigger. We just want to know how we got there.
How and why. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Let's move on sharply and get this done. Bridgerton, are you guys Bridgerton girls?
Love Bridgerton.
Not
this, you lot take that. This is your floor. I've watched the first season and okay. I liked it, but yeah, it's not something I can speak on too. So,
okay.
How many seasons have there been? There's been
like maybe 2 or 3. There's some spin-offs, I think.
3 and Queen Charlotte.
3 and Queen Charlotte. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Queen Charlotte is.
Jonathan Bailey. I know Jonathan Bailey was the guy in that, right? He was in the first.
Jonathan Bailey was really, really good in it.
Yeah.
Did love his season.
You didn't see this.
No, but he wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't. You know how people now are like, oh my god, Jonathan Bailey's sexy. I love him so much. He's so sexy. That wasn't what he gave in Bridgerton.
Not at all.
Like at all.
With the mutton chops.
Yeah, yeah. Like that wasn't what he gave, which is fine. I mean, it means that it was all acting, so it's good.
Yeah, because he wasn't meant to be the sex appeal.
Yeah.
He's not married yet, is he?
He's
getting married next.
No, he's now married to Simone Ashley. I can't remember her.
Oh, yes.
Kate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate. Well, it says Kathy here.
Yeah, yeah, that's her, like, Asian name. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Bridgerton is so funny. Like, all of that, like, trying to balance between, like, the racial element versus like, how old English is meant to be.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it's like, why has she got an accent, but no one else has an accent? But it's like, but she's also, it never makes any sense. Like, why
but
sound
you
like
just
that?
Have to accept that it's not going to make sense. Yeah. Just move on because.
No, for real.
What are you actually talking about?
Because. Yeah, none of it makes sense, full stop.
Like,
did you like the last season of Bridgerton?
The last season, who was the main, oh, it was my girl.
Yeah.
Penelope, is that her name?
Penelope, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Penelope get married.
Is that the ginger girl?
Yes. Yeah.
I like the actress. She's cool, man.
She's really good.
Dairy Girls, no?
Hmm? Yeah, she's in Dairy Girls.
Yeah, Dairy Girls, yeah. Did I like the last, I did like it.
Mm-hmm.
I did like it. I didn't love it, but I did like it. But I remember thinking, where are we going with this, guys? Like, because the whole thing was that, like, she... What's the thing?
Miss Whistledown.
Whistledown, that's it. I was going to say... Oh, Featherington. She's a Featherington. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Lady Whistledown. She's been revealed as Lady Whistledown and, like, has owned it.
Mm-hmm.
What? Like, where...
Yeah,
how do we...
What next, innit?
Yeah, how do we... Where are we going from here?
It's tough because I think the first 2 seasons do a really good job of keeping us in the dark about Miss Whistledown. And I wish they did for the next 2 seasons.
Yeah, same. I kind of wish they didn't tell us.
I don't think we shouldn't. I think it should have been a secret or just a narrator that we don't really know.
Yeah.
For the first 2 seasons. Then the 3rd season, tell us. 4th season, reveal her. Mm. I don't think we need to know who she was immediately. We kind of found out.
Yeah, and
quite soon
I don't know. It felt, it did feel quick.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued just because they're filmed.
Okay, so this new season, is meant to be, so Thingy's getting married, the other brother.
The brother, the like artsy one.
The artsy one that like is clearly a bit fluid and just shags everyone.
Yeah.
So he's getting married. But I was also, feel like I was a bit teased here because I was of the belief it was meant to be the gay one. Because you know the daughter, the first one, that's like a bit quiet.
Yes.
She's meant to start shagging her husband's cousin because her husband dies when they go to Scotland.
No, wait, hold on.
According to the book.
So you read the books?
No.
Oh, right. Okay. So tell me, so who's which daughter? I don't know why I can never remember their name.
Kiz, I'm so sorry. Could you mind helping me out? The last season of Bridgerton, who got married? Which Bridgerton got married?
The gingery daughter, the slim
one. The quiet one that plays the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she gets married to the black boy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, he's meant to be like a cute little eloping thing. It's not meant to be serious.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like,
okay, they're gonna get married. All of this. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, we're moving to Edinburgh
with and the cousin at the end, the woman. Yeah, the woman, his female cousin. Yeah.
And then she kind of like taking her back.
Yeah.
So basically, that's meant to be
season three.
Yeah.
Two couples get married. Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington.
Yeah.
And then Francesca Bridgerton.
Francesca. There we go.
John Sterling Francesca. Yeah, yeah. Got you.
So John's cousin, yes, the girl.
The woman. Yeah.
She's like, they have a little thing at the end. And everyone's like what the fuck is that?
But that's
meant to be the main focus. But then we got news that things meant to be getting married as well.
Yeah, the other.
So now I'm getting annoyed because I don't like two weddings a season because I feel like you're trying to fit too much in.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Francesca should have got a bit more because she was so quiet and they're trying to get her married off for ages, but she was just like,
I'm also like, that whole, if it is that like she thinks she might like girls or
yeah,
that's different. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's focus on that for a second.
Yeah, let's do that.
Also, I was promised gayness. You need to give me gayness if you're going to promise me that.
I'm also a bit like, because I feel like they, obviously with her, but then also the brother that is now going to get married in the next season. There was a point where I was also like, what are you then?
Yeah.
What's your vibe?
Maybe it's just the gay season.
Yeah.
Full stop. I think it's just a fluid season across the board.
Because there's a new woman, that's like a new cast member that's going to be his wife, like, person he falls in love with, his wife.
Because she's older as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where are we going?
Because the thing is, I don't think he actually likes, I think he does allude to being like, I like doing this with you, but I don't actually like men like that. I'm just doing this as a thing that you like as well. But I think for the most part, I think he is actually straight or just likes women.
Fine.
But I think Francesca, we're getting a gay season from her. I think she's actually going to be like, because her husband's meant to die. He gets really sick.
He dies in the book. Is that what you're saying?
So he gets really sick. They move to Edinburgh. He gets really sick, but her cousin's still living there. And then they start exploring whatever they're going on.
Oh.
So we're getting the alphabet episode. It's going to be good. Yeah.
So, okay, I think that would be good if they do go there.
But yeah.
I want them to do it properly.
But I think they would because I don't trust that they won't. Because they never, like, every time they've that kind of dealt with someone being a bit.
Yeah, they have
the
actually.
The fact that, like, not Eloise. Is it Eloise, the other sister?
The like Saki one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't make her gay means that I trust them now because I thought they were going to make her gay.
I thought they were also
and
I'm good.
Glad they didn't because it would have been so.
They just kind of made her just a bit more
free. No, but I think she's just free and like.
She's just, yeah.
It's not that she doesn't want to get married because she's gay. She just doesn't want to get married full stop. Like, she's not the main focus. She wants to live her life.
Yeah, yeah. I do like Bridgerton. Queen Charlotte, you're right though, is.
Elite.
Queen Charlotte took it to another level.
Because also, were you ever shipping them as a real life couple?
Oh, and I think his girlfriend had to come out to
did
be
you
like,
not know about the whole
fucking stop.
To dumb situation at no, Netflix. Happened? Okay, cool. So the lead up for the press, yeah. Sorry, I'm almost getting. Oh my gosh, hey guys. Sorry, so.
I was still listening.
Cool. Yeah, perfect. Cool. So the lead up, the whole press run they were doing for Queen Charlotte,
yeah.
They were super touchy.
They were.
It was given everything.
Whispering.
They did a Vogue glamour cover, yeah, and it was so intimate. All those shoots were so intimate. BTS, they're all leaning up each other, like, holding hands, everything. Yeah. And then the Netflix, that big showcase. Is it Tudum?
Tudum or whatever.
Yeah.
That
it's called The Curse of the Tudum. Yeah. The whole thing, we've broken it down on TikTok, is really important. Yeah. Cool. So his girlfriend for the first time has actually come on any of the press stuff. Yeah. And that's the picture you see of them stood next to each other and she's like holding her own hand. And
okay,
like,
okay.
And they're like smiling. Like and even when she laughs, she doesn't lead in to laugh to him. Like, she laughs away from him. Yeah. His girlfriend apparently was like, this needs to stop now. Yeah, it was like, this shit ain't funny now. Like, there's 20,000 fan edits of you. 20,000? You know, that's an insane number of fan edits.
Actually,
they're on set. No, they're on set doing this.
They're actually,
on
they're
set
just
measuring
doing,
each other's hands.
Yeah. It's crazy, it's crazy.
Excuse me? You're measuring your hands against my man? Yeah, she nicked that shit up.
His girlfriend and him.
I don't know, because I want another season of Queen Charlotte. Because I feel like there's still more of the
story
to tell.
There is still more to tell.
Because there's a huge gap between him actually like not
feeling
too great.
That's mad. It's why people say like, I can never be with an actor. I saw it. This is, sorry, an aside, but
no, keep going.
Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
I'm really, really stretching it here. But
continue.
They did, what was their thing? Nobody But You. What was
Anyone But You.
Anyone But You.
But You, whatever. Yeah. That film, obviously their press tour was the same thing. They were literally like gazing into each other.
But it felt really one-sided.
Do you think?
Yeah. Glenn wasn't given as much. I'm sorry.
Girlfriend at the time, they're now not together. His girlfriend at the time did like an interview. I think it was like Call Me Daddy or whatever that podcast. Oh god. Didn't interview maybe with some of people, but didn't interview, and she was like, that shit was not funny. Like, I don't understand why he didn't take it seriously. My concerns, like, I hated it. She never reached out, like Sydney never reached out to me, would never say hello to me, da, 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 like was really going in. And I was like, oh my god, like I thought
Manny's enjoying the
I
feet.
Thought that stuff was like not manufactured, but like, if you're, it's just like dumb. It's like, oh yeah, whatever. They're gazing into each other's eyes on the red carpet.
But it's only so much because no, but I think it, the cameras are off now.
There's a point, where it goes too far. Like, this is BTS. I've just caught you in the back, and you lot are giggling and leaning into each other.
Like, it's too much.
Fucking colleagues, calm down.
Kerry Washington, my man.
I can't with them.
No, there's a video. Yeah, when it's like the reporter asked Kerry on the red carpet, like, have you spoken to him yet? He's like, oh, he's just spent all night with his wife, and he goes, and then Kerry goes, leave her, leave her. Leave her. Your whole entire life. Yeah,
I'll be real with you.
With them.
Kerry Washington, and I can't remember who plays Fitzgerald Grant. I should remember his name.
Goldwyn something.
Yeah, and his crazy family's tied to
Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah,
Tony.
Like,
I was going to ask. You see Sydney Sweeney? Didn't she break up an engagement or something?
Yeah, and so now she's not engaged. She's broken off her engagement.
Yeah,
they're now not together. And then Glenn sister got married, and he took Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then he was like, oh yeah, no, because my sister was always on set and they got really close. Yeah, right.
I mean, come on though. I mean, hear Glenn out.
I heard that.
But... hear him out.
No, Sydney Sweeney is a gorgeous lady.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where it stops.
There we go. Yeah, Kerry Washington.
And Tony.
They're taking a piss.
They're ridiculous. They're ridiculous.
No, because why did he send a video to her for a movie about black female pilots, to the Jennifer Hudson show? I beg, he's got nothing to do with this now. Why are you just even involved with this? With press
go on TikTok when you have some spare time. Kerry Washington and Tony Golden.
It's mental.
It's mad. It's mad. It's too much.
It's actually too much.
Do you know they're both married?
They're both married.
I don't think they are.
Stop it now.
I don't think they are.
Stop it now.
No.
Just stop it. Also,
they're playing into it though. They must be.
For what as well?
I don't know, man.
What's the point? You're not even trying to sell a show anymore. You guys are still getting residuals off the show. People are going to watch it full stop. You're doing this for no reason.
You're doing new things now. Tony Goldwyn, I don't think he does much. He just does like a few, like, I think he
does some
like
movies and
Law
stuff.
Law and Order now. Like,
oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Like,
I've seen him in a movie as well quite recently. But yeah, he's not like.
I've seen him. He was in Oppenheimer.
He was.
No,
it's a good spot. Yeah, he was. That film was just packed with random people.
Bare people.
Yeah.
Or like when Halle Berry's Go Lips. Adrian Brody at,
but that was revenge, man.
Yeah.
Well,
what made me laugh about that is because she tapped her wife and was like, sorry. And then she went to go lips husband. And the wife was pretending to be like, oh, this is so funny. I'm sorry, I'm shooting everyone after. What the hell? You're going to tap me to be like, sorry, I'm about to lips your husband.
Yeah, sorry, like, crazy.
That's mad.
Did you guys watch The Residence?
Oh, loved it. Oh, Ora, please. Come on, man.
It's my first Shonda letdown.
Is it? Oh, you didn't like it or you didn't watch it?
You don't mean that. You don't even mean that.
I didn't like it.
Is it?
I didn't finish it.
No, you need to tell me
why.
But
it's because it didn't do anything
for me. Didn't do anything for you. I think it was good. It was too long.
It was so funny as well.
Seriously?
It was too long.
If you asked me before I checked my Netflix today, I'd have said like, yeah, man, I got to like episode 4 and 5 and it didn't. I checked. I was on episode 2. Halfway through episode 2.
Those episodes are long though as well. They're like an hour long.
It just didn't do anything for me. And I find it weird because I really... Uzo Aduba.
Name
probably. Fantastic.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Right? Yeah. Like, solid cast. Murder mystery. Love me a murder mystery. So I don't know what wasn't clicking for me. I don't know if I'm like, I haven't put it in the pile of shows where I'm like, fuck that, never watching it again. I put it in the pile where I'm like, maybe I just need to approach it.
Do you think it was like the pantomime-esque element?
I don't mind that.
Because I like that.
I kind of like telenovela style. I like that stuff.
That's my favourite
part. Yeah, I do like that stuff, but I don't know, it didn't work for me.
What was you going to
say? Kylie Minogue's in this.
Yeah. But it's so funny. And also like, I think he was meant to be in it. What's his name? Hugh Jackman.
Oh, well, that would he would make sense.
You know, that was the running joke.
Yeah. Running joke about Hugh interview
about Hugh Jackman being here.
Where was he in the end?
I'm not sure. I think maybe it was like probably filming something else.
That's so funny. Because even the Kylie thing, when they kept referencing like, oh, Kylie's going to perform later, Kylie's going to perform.
Yeah.
I thought they were just saying it.
Yeah.
Because you can say anything, you can say Beyonce's going to perform later. You don't have to show us. So when she actually was there and talking, and so I was like, wait, is that Kylie? Like, I don't get it. What's happening right now? Is that Kylie?
I think if that was like a six episode, I think if that's a six episode series.
No, I'm
good. How many episodes is it?
And I liked it. It goes to like 8 or 9, and it's like, this could have been a bit more compact.
And the last episode is a time and a half. So it's hour 20.
That could have been a more compact.
I loved it. Really. He didn't really do it for me.
They said that Hugh Jackman had a scheduling conflict.
Yeah, because he was because that's the running joke throughout the whole thing. It's Hugh Jackman, and then we never see him. But it's also kind of funny because they do the same thing with Kylie, and then Kylie pops up. So we think Hugh Jackman's going to pop up.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
He just doesn't.
All right, got a quick question for you before we play a game and then wrap up. We were speaking about network shows, and with network shows, you would have got 23 episodes in a season. Mm. Excuse me. Whereas today, streaming era, binging era, shout out to you, obviously.
Shout out to me, man.
8 to 10, sometimes six.
Yeah.
Where do you align in terms of your preference for, like, do you like the previous era where we had network TV and you'd get like 23 episodes in a season? Or even with shows like HBO shows, like The Wire, you'd get 13 in a season. Mm. With The Sopranos, you'd get like 13. Whereas today, even our quote-unquote prestige shows, our best shows, like, I don't know, Succession, you get 10. Mm. Which I love Succession, by the way. Succession,
yeah.
But yeah.
I love TV, so I think I have to go with the old form because I want to be able to watch more stuff. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that the writing nowadays has adapted to the method. So I don't think that, it's not that I watch, so Succession, for example, it's not that I watch it and I'm like, oh, I wish it had double the episodes.
It didn't need it.
But they've followed the brief. Like, it's got 10 episodes, so therefore they've written them and they've written them tightly.
What a series,
man. Enough to work across the 10 episodes. But there were shows that were written tightly across 23 episodes as well. Yeah. And I would love to go back to that because that amount of content. And I also think I'm not like the biggest binger. I'm not against it. I'm just not. I don't know. It just doesn't really like work for me. So even though I'm complaining about the weekly episode thing, I did kind of love when I had like. So obviously Shonda Thursdays, for example, that was on Thursday in America, but obviously I had to wait for it to come on
Friday morning.
Premiere. So Friday.
You're ridiculous.
So I'm watching it on
Friday. Mr. World Premiere used to look after me, man.
Uni times, that was, at least you had that.
Yeah,
that
for real, for real.
Oh, just go on it straight away.
Loving hip hop, I can't lie.
Exactly.
I used to log in.
You're such a bad bitch, I love this video.
Come on, look at how my shorts are. Come on, man.
You can see his whole fire right now.
But yes, I obviously watched that on Fridays, but then there were other stuff and I kind of almost had like a week of stuff to watch and I'd have that for what, like half the year. That was nice. Like, I do miss that. But, yeah, at the same time, we're getting very, very good writing that is fitting into the shorter, like, schedule plan thing.
Maybe. Mount Rushmore TV shows.
Pressure. I hate when you don't ask me these things in advance. Sorry. I'd love to come with, like, a...
No.
Mount Rushmore TV shows. How many heads are on Mount Rushmore again? Four?
Yeah.
Four. Succession is there.
Pull up. But has to be there, man. That's mine as well. It's in mine.
I'm trying to make this like, I'm trying to take in the whole.
Don't try to be diverse, man.
I know, but I'm thinking.
You've got to do whatever comes to your mind right now.
No. Okay, Succession. This is going to be a rogue one, but I actually really bloody love this show so much. I've watched it like 3 times, even though it's in Spanish. Narcos.
Good show.
Yes, that's really a surprise.
Narcos, yeah.
Good series, that.
Narcos, I actually loved. Like, I thought
which
it was excellent.
Narcos?
Not Narcos Mexico.
So just...
That was a nice...
Pablo Escobar.
The first... Yeah, yeah,
Pablo,
yeah.
All
right. Yeah, the first one.
Wasn't my guy Pedro in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's yeah, everywhere.
Yeah. I think that was the first time I'd really, like, away. Interacted with him.
What's interacted.
Oh, huh? How?
Yeah, but, like, not as much as... Like, he was, like, really full-on in...
It was the whole season, and he was, like, the main thing that came into the season.
Yeah, but because so much happens in Game of Thrones, like, we're going from one world to the other, da, 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 da. Do you know what I mean? So even if you're in loads of episodes...
Well, she's the main, like...
In Knockers, like, you're thread, the... Yeah,
he's chasing Pablo, yeah.
Exactly.
It's crazy he's impacting, like, 6 episodes. Like, he was only in there for season 4.
Yeah.
First 5, 6 episodes, man. Then they have the Mountain and the Viper, and he's gone.
Literally.
He was really good. What have I said? Succession, Narcos. I'm actually going to say Game of Thrones as well.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones as well. And then my fourth. I'm trying to remember what room I'm in. I don't know what reaction this is going to get. My fourth one. My fourth one is Friends. Because I fucking love
Friends. Right. I'm surprised you didn't say The Wire.
No. It's actually these. Yeah. I do love The Wire.
No, Friends. That's a good four, though.
No, Friends is fine.
Friends actually has to. Yeah, okay. I just.
I know you. You're like a.
Certain rooms, I say Friends, and then like, oh, you,
I would have said The Office more because that's my favourite sitcom. Fair or enough. Modern Family, but Friends is great.
Like, Friends is good.
I know you're like a background Friends watcher.
Friends is. But it's only background now because I've watched, single episode 12 times.
Yeah, I've watched, like, I'm currently watching it as well.
Whereas now it's like, yeah, it's background. Like, while I'm working from home, I'm like.
What's your favourite Friends moments, if you've got any?
Favourite Friends moments. So. There's so many that surround Ross. Like,
they're all surround Ross. To be fair,
they're all Ross ones.
Ross, because these are all tan, games, yeah? By the way. I don't know what it is about that spray tan.
The spray tan,
spray tan's brilliant.
That's incredible.
Oh my god!
Like, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
And every time I'm actually like, this man is so fucking dumb.
And he turns around.
Is that what
he turns back around?
Turns back around and still stays there for it. You can feel it on you.
But that was great comedy acting.
Yeah. Such
great comedy acting.
You know, I saw something recently about Ross. Well, it was, I think they asked, I think Taser was on Three Shots was talking about this. Hmm. He was saying that growing up, his favourite was Chandler. Like, yeah,
same.
Mine. But then there comes a point where he realised, nah, Ross, my favourite is Ross.
Same.
So yeah. Funny.
I'm the same. I had the same transition.
So exact, I found him annoying. Same. And I still do find him annoying.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Like, there's times where I'm like, shut up. Like, the when Rachel first gets her, fashion job.
Yeah. And her,
be fucking for real. Like, I just got my dream job. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? But there are two, the spray tan moment, when he wears the leather trousers on the date.
No!
Like, in the bathroom.
Yeah, when he gets his teeth whitened.
When he gets his teeth whitened.
His sandwich.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Nah. So yeah, Ross has got better hits, man.
Funny.
Pivot.
So oh my gosh, that one and, Unami.
So
that one. Unagi.
Hey, do you know why Pivot is a great episode? Because that same episode is when Phoebe steals the guy's his police badge.
Yeah.
is it Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She steals his police badge. That's a really good episode. That's a great episode.
So funny.
It's a good series.
Yeah.
Good series.
Yeah, man.
Very, very good series.
All right, let's wrap up. Bisola versus Ore. We'll be quick as possible.
All right, let's do this.
It's just, this is easy. It's going to have a vague description of a show first to guess it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool. First one is, a bunch of co-workers spend more time talking in the kitchen than doing actual work. One of them actually...
The Bear.
No.
That was a good shout.
Yeah. Sorry, can you...
I will leave it at that, actually.
Oh, say it again?
A bunch of co-workers spend more time talking in the kitchen than doing actual work. One of them always has a scheme, and nobody ever leaves. It's easier than you think.
I feel like it is, because it always is, though. With these
games. It's like so much easier than you think, to the point where you're going to be like...
What? They're always in the kitchen.
It's co-workers.
Just think of co-workers that don't do much work.
Severance.
That they don't do their actual job.
I would say the office, but they're not in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm trying to think of like all the workplace-based
sitcoms. Yeah, this is fucking me up, man.
Has Manny got it behind me?
Yeah, he's got it.
Oh, Manny, go away. So jarring. Can I get one more hint?
Just say it. Just say something that comes to mind. Like, say it affirmatively, though. Right, I'm going to move on and say it. It's the US office.
She said that.
Yeah, but you didn't. No, you didn't say it.
But I also said they're never in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
They're in the kitchen for all of like 12 minutes across all 11 seasons.
They're not actually doing work, but they're at their desk.
No, that's a terrible description. Sorry. Next. I was right.
Yeah.
A woman can't stop getting involved in people's murder problems. Somehow, she still has to grade papers.
Has to get with murder?
There we go.
Oh, right, okay. I was like, is it going to be that obvious?
A man is really good at cooking, but only when crime is involved. He's good at cooking. But when crime is involved. This is a tough one when I think about it, actually. Think of Prestige. That's my clue. Think of the greatest shows of all time.
He's got cooking, man. You can say Sopranos.
No. It's a good guess, though. It is crime related.
Yeah, he's good at cooking.
When crime is involved.
Crime.
I'm thinking, who is a chef that chefs?
Don't think too to the core of cooking, per se. My clue to you then is, think of who dropped an album recently.
Breaking Bad.
Here we go.
Cooking. When you said it again, I was like, oh.
What's that album relevance?
Is it Drugs,
isn't it?
Clips.
Cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cooking.
Yeah, it was when you said cooking again, I was like, oh, yeah.
A group of nerds make science jokes and somehow date...
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. People live in a fantasy world and make terrible decisions that lead to dragons, betrayal, and everything.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A group of friends do absolutely everything together except go to therapy.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia or Friends.
You could like, yeah.
Always Sunny is Friends. Is Insecure. It's everything, to be honest.
It was Friends.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's pretending to be normal in the suburbs. Spoiler.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. A man with emotional issues talks to his therapist, then goes and commits more crimes.
Sopranos.
It's the Sopranos. Sopranos.
This is a really fun game, guys.
Yeah, because you're winning for once.
Yeah, I know, Rosie.
I know what's wrong with me. I know what's happening.
He solves crimes. He also kind of was one. That's a tough one.
I was going to say Dexter, but I don't think it is.
Think, my clue to you is two of the actors have been in the MCU.
Luther.
No.
He solves crime, but he kind of is one.
At least one of them have definitely been in the MCU.
Are you sure it's not Luther? Is it British?
Yes.
He sells crimes, but he can't.
Manny's got it again, unfortunately.
Manny's really annoying. Can we just kick him out of this room, please?
Yeah, we should.
And it's British.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, Doctor Who?
Sherlock.
Oh, Sherlock.
All right, last one. Last one. A family of narcissists can't stop arguing while their media empire falls apart.
The Empire.
Succession. Oh, so- We are the post-credit scene podcast, the 14 HQ original lovers of film, TV and theatre. Ore has been back for another great episode. And you know what's mad? I can tell Manny, at least, I'm not sure about kids because of the topic, but I can tell Manny had a fantastic time just listening to that episode. Ore is one of our favourite guests, without a shadow of a doubt.
Real, thanks, guys.
Seeing these two just get to yap as well was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I just forgot. At one point, I was actually completely...
Yeah, she forgot. She forgot I was here and I was fine with it. I had a good time as well. I felt like I was watching a podcast, you know what I mean? Make sure, Ore, plug your podcast, please.
Yeah.
So it's called Scene Queens Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Scene Queens Pod. You can find us on TikTok, Scene Queens Pod.
Come on. Make sure to follow.
Follow, like,
comment,
subscribe.
They're great. They're great. They're unique. They do their thing. So make sure to follow. Make sure to follow Ore on her personal page as well.
Yes, that's me. Ore Views with an underscore at the end. I'm still looking for the person that has Ore Views without an underscore to give me their account.
And follow Binge with Basola. Watch it, right? Yeah. And that's us over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.